Hi, how are you? My name's Simon Smart, and you're listening to Life and Faith from the Centre for Public Christianity. Well, the second Global Atheist Convention is happening down in Melbourne this weekend, and the most headline-grabbing new atheists will be there. Richard Dawkins, Sam Harris, Daniel Dennett. It's sad that Christopher Hitchens won't be there this time. He passed away last year from cancer, but I'm sure Hitchens will be fondly remembered at the event, and his spirit will live on, if we can say that, in an atheist convention there. The convention's called A Celebration of Reason, and that seems to be the theme of the new atheists, that reason rules out their ability to believe in God. Justin Toro and I are going to speak about this today and this focus on reason. But let's first of all hear what people had to say on the street about reason and belief in God.
I think if you were to look at the practices of people the world over, that would suggest that there is some evidence.
For me, it's like my internal faith. I've known it my whole life. Like, I'm a Christian, so I've just always known that there was a higher power. I don't know. I think it's something that's innate than when you're born with that or not, and how you've been socialized, how you've been brought up. So I have no problem with there being a convention like that, but for me personally, I think they go hand in hand, reason and faith.
Anthony, do you think there's good evidence for believing in God?
There's something out there, so I think there's something, you know, whether they're, you know, obviously each religion has a name for their own God, but yeah, I think there's something out there. Just weird when you look back at things and go, oh, you know, certain things happen for a reason, and, you know, sometimes when something bad happens, you go, oh, well, it's bad, but then later on you look back and you go, well, it could have been worse, or, you know, it's happened for a reason and something good comes out of it. So you don't need to have evidence or, you know, facts or reasons. You can just have belief, I guess.
Like, I've looked through, like, the Bible and looked at the evidence I see in the world, and I've decided I think this is a rational thing to believe.
I think science has more evidence to support like evolution and things like that, and I think everything can be explained through science, and a divine being is a cop-out in my mind. But you can be reasonable and believe in God. I don't believe in God myself. I came from a Christian school though.
Science proves the existence of God because science proves the fact that it will never prove the explanation of everything, and therefore there must be a higher power that is outside our understanding of science, and therefore that higher power is God. Whether or not it's a sentient being, there's definitely something on the next level, and science proves that itself. So at some point there has to be an explanation that breaks the laws of physics as we know it, and people need to accept that that is a God.
Justine, you've been asking all the questions, but what do you think? Can it be reasonable to believe in the existence of God?
Well, yeah, picking up on what that last guy said, he says, you know, something started the Big Bang, and so he thinks it's actually reasonable to believe in God. Obviously, that isn't at some level quite a simple answer, and we shouldn't settle for that. But it doesn't mean that we shouldn't just, you know, make that effort to wrestle with the big questions of how we got here and what life means. But it does seem strange that everything is just this massive accident. So I do like the conclusion that this guy has come to.
There's a popular saying that I've seen branded on some accessories that go on sale at these kinds of conventions. And one says, I think, therefore I am an atheist. That suggests that reason leads to the opposite conclusion that you and I have, so there's this belief that there is no God. What's going on there?
Well, that phrase, I think, therefore I am, can be traced to the Enlightenment philosopher René Descartes. And, yeah, so atheists, I suppose, like to appropriate that because it suggests that they are in some ways the intellectual descendants of Descartes. And Descartes was talking about how human reason is the grounds on which we get to decide what counts as knowledge. So it's not like, you know, for example, your sensory experiences of the world that will deliver true grounds for knowledge, but it's the fact that humans are a thinking thing or a thinking creature that is what's going to determine what is real, what is reason.
So in the way it's expressed by, you know, I think, therefore I'm an atheist, it's a very humanist understanding of the world, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It is in the sense that humanism regards reason as the fundamental capacity of human beings, like the way that what really makes them human. This humanist emphasis on reason in that time during the Enlightenment, it actually challenged the divine right of kings, but also the dominance of the church. So before you were born into a system that you couldn't hope to change, and so you accepted your lot in life. But this emphasis on human reason shows that, well, you can challenge these things. You don't have to necessarily accept that privilege of class and caste, but also you don't have to just accept whatever religion or God is said to tell you.
So what do you think we can make then of this stress on reason in some of the atheist camp?
Well, I think that at a very base level, it just shows that they actually have a lot of faith in human reason to give us the truth of the world.
Is that faith misplaced, do you think?
I think yes and no. Of course, reason is a key part of what it means to be human, but I would challenge the idea that it is the defining category of being a human, or that it's the only way by which you can establish, you know, what knowledge is and what is real. I think that approach tends to emphasise thought and reason at the expense of the body and the emotions as well.
But there's something to be said, isn't there, for weighing up a decision rationally. You're not just not just going on how you feel. If you did that all the time, it would mean you'd believe in anything you wanted to, right?
Yeah, obviously. I mean, I'm not saying that truth doesn't matter, because obviously it does. But it does beg the question, you know, is reason the only way to the full truth and nothing but the truth? You know, I'm not as convinced, and I don't live like that either, and I don't think I'm alone in this. For example, sometimes after weighing up all the information and sorting through it rationally, you know, I don't think I'm alone, but I'm left at an impasse. You know, I have to make a call. And the way that I feel about something does weigh into the decision. You know, how can it not? And this applies to everything in life, you know, including the claims of Christianity. Christianity has good historical evidence of various kinds. It isn't scientific evidence in the way that it's repeatable and provable by experiments, but it does give us good reason to trust the core details of the faith. And after going through that evidence, you can make a call. Now, are you going to be persuaded simply by the reason, or are you going to, you know, be guided as well by how you feel about it? That has to weigh into it in some ways.
Yeah, it reminds me, Justine, of a book I've been reading lately called Thinking Fast and Slow by Daniel Kahneman. And he used to work with a guy called Amos Tversky. They're psychologists, and they've done these bizarre experiments to show that we're really not as rational as we like to think we are. An example of this, there's some funny ones, but they found out that applicants who are applying to go to medical school are less likely to be admitted into their school if they're interviewed on a rainy day, which flies in the face of the idea that we're sort of objective and impartial and our judgment doesn't get clouded by what's going on. They also find things like this. You know, people who buy lottery tickets also buy insurance. They explain why people in falling markets are less likely to sell their houses and their stocks. And I thought this one was a good one. Why professional golfers become better putters when they're saving par rather than trying to make a birdie. You know, more alarmingly than any of those, they also did an experiment that showed that judges, experienced judges, when asked to roll a pair of dice rigged to come up a particular number, so 3 or 9, before they were given the task of mock sentencing a shoplifter, they decided an average of 8 months if they rolled 9 and 5 months if they rolled 3. So there was a sort of anchoring effect of the number that has obviously nothing to do with the case, and yet it had a profound effect on their judgment. But here's the thing. These two guys, Kahneman and Tversky, reveal what appear to be sort of permanent fallibilities in reason, but their rule of thumb was they wouldn't study any of these things unless they any examples of what they called human idiocy and irrationality unless they first detected it in themselves. So there's this sense that they're not just sitting up on high telling us how irrational we all are. They include themselves in this, that our human reason is deeply fallible.
Grew up as a Catholic, and I suppose you grow up and you believe what you are taught to believe, but I think there's a mystery to life, that, you know, there's a connectedness between people that goes beyond knowing someone's name or the physical or whatever, but I don't think I need to ascribe that to a God. Most religions, there's so much contradiction, there's so much that is just illogical. I can understand why people have faith, but I don't think there's evidence. I don't think they need evidence. I mean, that's sort of the whole point. They have faith and it sustains them in other ways, but personally I don't see a need for God in my life. Theologians will say the whole point of faith is that you don't have proof, that you have faith. You believe in the absence of proof. Is it irrational? I think by definition it is.
I just have never seen anything suggested to me that God was interceding in the matters of man or beast.
You're listening to Life and Faith from the Centre for Public Christianity.
I think that the research that Kahneman and Tversky did suggests that at times we make too much of human reason. And I think you can see this sometimes in the way that some atheists will talk about the importance of reason and how that determines that they can't believe in God. I think that we have non-rational natures too. You know, we have gut reactions to things, for example, which sometimes we trust more because they're pre-conscious or they seem to bypass intellectual thought.
Do you think someone could say that their belief in God emerges from a position of non-rationality or something like a gut reaction and that's not to be ridiculed?
I really don't think that in this era of science that you've got a good chance of people not ridiculing you if you say that you've got this gut feeling that God exists.
Even though people who do believe in God will say there's evidence for this, but I also have this intuition, right?
But it's quite interesting because I don't think people will lead with that intuition. They'll say that there's evidence first and then there's also an intuition or an intuitive element to that.
It's a sign of the times, right, that
yeah,
we're in.
Absolutely. I do think that we live in a more emotion-friendly era, if I can put it that way. But overall, we are in one that still favours reason over emotion. And of course, with good reason, right? I'm not saying that preferring emotion over reason is the way to go, but, you know, surely the two can coexist or be held in tension with each other. I've been looking at a book lately called Existential Reasons for Belief in God, written by...
Light sort of bedtime reading,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah, not so much, yeah. Anyway, it's by this philosopher called Clifford Williams, and he says that humans are justified in believing in God because it satisfies their emotional and spiritual needs. Obviously, this kind of stuff would get mocked mercilessly at atheist conferences because it confirms this frequent criticism that atheists make of believers, you know, that believers believe in God because they need to.
Right, well, this is the Freudian idea, right, that Robert Banks talks about in his book And Man Created God, that we've talked about before here in this program, that belief in God is traceable to a wish for the ultimate father figure or something of that nature.
Yeah, absolutely. And for people who recognise this need in themselves, you know, it is worth thinking through that and questioning yourself. I mean, that certainly applies to me. But the reverse obviously applies as well. The unbelief in God is traceable to a fear or a loathing, perhaps, of the ultimate father figure. But of course, returning to Williams' book, it's worth acknowledging that talking about faith and belief in God in terms of need and emotional experience, you know, it just can't be taken seriously in our context because we prize proof, you know, we prize the scientific method and above all reason, which for better or worse, you know, reinforces that humanist belief that reason gives us the truth of the world.
So, Justine, you're saying that what counts as knowledge in our time means that Williams' argument can't be taken seriously. Is that right?
Yeah. I mean, when I was just, you know, giving you the brief rundown of what it's about, you just feel, oh, my gosh, it's weird talking about it because it seems so silly. It's like, how can you argue that people are justified in believing in God because it satisfies emotional needs? It sounds ridiculous on some level. But I think that's because of the of what kind of knowledge is dominant in our era, which is that scientific stuff. But, I mean, to be fair, Williams says that the ideal way to secure faith is through both need and reason, and that if believers find that they tilt more towards one rather than the other, they should work a bit harder at, you know, achieving some sort of balance, you know, using their reason, for example, to test their faith. And, you know, if they're more reason-based, then maybe exploring the emotional content of their faith.
Certainly no one lives as if only rational thought is what dominates everything they do. None of us live that way. There's a whole lot of things, reason, but plus emotion, intuition, take place in every decision we make and the things we like and the things we sort of go for, the people we warm to, all of those sorts of things, right? So Williams isn't saying, presumably, that when you become a believer, you're going to swap your brain for the Bible.
No, not at all. He's saying that brains and belief can coexist and that reason and faith aren't necessarily enemies, but that through both of them, you can come to a belief in God that is reasonable, but yet that is not only reasonable, but that is filled with life and your emotions and can speak to the whole of your experience as well.
So do you think there's good evidence for believing in God?
Yes, I do. I think you've just got to look at creation, look at a beautiful flower, look at a sunset. Yep, God's there and God's in control. I think you look at the evidence. No, you look at the evidence and you do reason out and there has to be a God. Yes, you look at the reason and look at, and all you've got to do is look at all the documents that are around from that time when, in the Old Testament times, and you can see that there's lots and lots of copies of them and it's got to be true. And you'd be mad in this world not to believe in a God. I mean, where are you going to go when you die? What's going to happen to you? I mean, you know, God gives us hope. We know that there's a life after death, and let's believe in it, and I hope you do.
For more Christian perspective on contemporary life, publicchristianity.org.
Next time, we're going to pick up on more of this, talking about the Atheist Convention, but also looking at human reason, rationality, what it is to be a human being. And it'll be good to chat about that then, Justine.
And Simon, you forgot to mention that we'll be talking about food in relation to all these things. So hopefully that will whet your appetite. See you next time on Life and Faith.